Hello everyone, welcome to a brand new season with new graphics and everything.
Ooh,
new intro
fancy
video.
New video.
Did you like it?
I did like
you like it. Yeah, it's good. Salah, that is delicious. That's gonna become a
that
thing.
That is delicious.
That's gonna become a thing. FPL Salah. FPL Salah. Mo Salah being delicious. Absolutely love it. Welcome to FPL Family. If this is your ninth season with us, then welcome back for a ninth season with FPL Family. If this is your first season with us, then welcome along. Hit subscribe, hit like, all that sort of good stuff. Sam, FPL is not quite live yet, but we've had lots of changes. Lots and lots of changes in the game. So we should timestamp this. We're recording this on Sunday night.
Sunday night. In our usual slot, but just not live.
Which is a usual slot. For those of you that are new to FPL Family, 8.30, 9 o'clock, usually about 9 o'clock after the kids are in bed. 9 p.m. every Sunday, we'll be here for a live stream looking back at all the weekend's FPL action. So hit subscribe so you don't miss out on those as we go through it in game week one, game week two. But a little bit of pre-season content, and goodness me, Sam, have we got some content to make
we have.
In the run-up to the game launching at some stage over the next coming days, right?
I like the fact that we're number one in the world, by the way.
Do you like that? I'll never be able to do it. So, yes, congratulations on being first in the world.
Podcasters won't know what we're talking about, but on our graphics, guys, if you're listening on the podcast, head over to YouTube, just look at the new graphics. They are funky. Yeah. But Lee has put us both at rank number one in the world because, I guess, in theory, without the game being live... Yeah. I mean, we're either all at naught or we're all at one, but we're still going to take it that we're all
congrats
first
on the green
the
arrow.
Yeah, congrats everyone on being number one in FPL
number
right
one in the
now.
World. Number one in the world. But listen, lots to discuss, Sam, before the game goes live. So again, I've put together nice. Look at this little graphics. Look at this. Ready? Look. Oh, here we go.
Hello, Lee.
Here we go.
You've upgraded.
I like to think that going into a new season, and those of you that were with us last season, I like the graphics last season. I kind of like the kind of darker look, the kind of more moody look. But I've tried to lighten up a little bit.
Do you know what I like?
Go on.
I like the fact that there's a little throwback to the last couple of years of FPL Family. If you
the
know
little shapes the, and stuff.
The little, yeah, the little shapes have stayed. There are shapes.
Yeah, yeah.
We cut some shapes, I they like stay. But also, I like the fact that our little logo has kept the black and green reminiscent of the
keep
last
that.
Couple of seasons. So
yeah, we keep
still
that.
Some hints of the past because, you know, we're family. We update a little bit.
Yeah.
But this is like... This is full upgrade, Lee.
This is, I'm liking it. It's feeling lighter. It's feeling
fresh.
Brighter. It's feeling fresher. Ready for the new season. And Sam, like I said, we have got a lot to talk about. Where do you want to start on this? So I've tried to clip from the FPL website all the different changes, and I might have even missed something. I don't think I have, but on everything on this page, we're getting fundamental changes to FPL, aren't
massive
we? I mean, there's
ones, yeah.
big changes coming to the game that we know and love.
Should we start with where they started on Friday?
Yeah, because there's some I like and some I have to say, I don't like some of them, but we'll get to that.
I must admit, I'm with you.
I'm torn on some of them.
I think let's start with the defensive contributions then.
Go on,
because
that was
the first
do
thing
that
they announced. And I think for me...
Do you like
this? Yes. So you didn't play the Euros game last summer, did you?
No.
No. This is one of the things I absolutely loved about the Euros game.
I think this is a good addition to FPL.
It's also reminiscent of EFL Fantasy. For those of you who have played that, the defensive contributions are in that too. And also UCL Fantasy. Lots of the other types of fantasy games already have this in. And it's something that I hoped that they would bring into FPL a couple of seasons ago. In fact, I hope they'd bring it in last summer, having played Euros Fantasy, because one of the things that it did as part of that is it gave you the potential upside. When the clean sheet went, often you... I know that in FPL for me, obviously you still get attacking threat potential with these players, but when the clean sheet goes, you kind of go, two-pointer.
Uh-huh.
And you feel a bit... Despondent, maybe.
Yeah.
Whereas now, with this potential upside, all right, it's capped at two, so you can only get 2 points, and that's not the case in other games. In this game, it's just two. But those 2 points, suddenly having gone from, oh, I've got 2 points, to, oh, I've got four, that feels significantly more, right?
And am I right in saying that defenders, and you're going to have to correct me here, defenders will get... a couple of extra bonus points or one extra bonus point for every 10 defensive contributions they
make?
They
get two. So they're
two points for every 10.
Yeah. So 2 points for every 10 defensive contributions
which is
that they
a
make.
Clearance, a block, or an interception.
Or a tackle.
Or a tackle.
A success.
So they've
tackle.
Got to do 10 defensive things.
Yes.
And once they get to, so we're going to have a load of things. We're going to have... we know the FPL community will do this, right? This will
happen. I will be counting.
You will be counting tackles and counting blocks now, FPL, and being like, my defender's on 9, that one counts as a block.
Correct. But FPL aren't going to show that. They're only going to show when your defender hits the 10. So,
but we're going to be watching highlights and going like, my defender, that was a tackle.
100%. And there's some lovely videos that the Premier League have put out. There's one of Tarkovsky hitting 10 in a game. There's also one of Caicedo doing it, because defenders have the midfielders, have to hit 12, not just 10.
And the forwards, right?
And the forwards as well. Now,
do they expect the forwards to do this stuff though? It's not their game.
So last season, 3. So the guys at Scout, note the Scout. I know there's a Scout graphic there. Obviously, you all know that I am heavily invested in Scout in terms of I run the company day to day. So add graphics, quote, whatever you need here. But we've been running the numbers on this. So there would have been 3 forwards in the game last year that would have earned defensive contribution points in matches. They are now no longer forwards. They have all changed position, our midfielders.
Okay.
So that's quite interesting to know anyway. So I don't think this is something that we're going to see a lot from our forwards, but it is something we're going to see potentially a lot of from the midfielders.
Defensive midfielders, right?
These are the players. Yeah. This is the player base.
The forgotten FPL players.
Yes, Lee. Yeah. These are the Caicedos. These are the players that you wouldn't necessarily look at and go,
maybe?
Norgaard does really well as well.
Yeah,
players that you wouldn't necessarily go, oh, I want you in my FPL team.
But is 2 extra points enough, though? Are we going to get that excited about the 2 extra points?
That's a really good question. And I think potentially no.
I'm bringing in Caicedo because he's
might get
8 rather than 6. Maybe, I don't know.
Well, it depends on how they price these players, doesn't it? Because if they price them at a point where they're still cheap, you know, if they're still coming in, if Caicedo's really cheap in the game, you might use him as an enabler. And therefore, you know, he might pick up a couple of points here and there. I think it's more interesting, to be honest, for the defenders. Although one thing I will say is that players like Bruno Fernandes scored really well in defensive contributions.
Because he's all over the pitch doing...
Because he does the donkey work, right? So there are players. Mateus Cunha, for example, was one of the forwards last year that did this. Now, he will, I suspect, still do some of this. I think if Harry Kane was still in the game, he'd have earned well in this category as well.
Yeah, I get it.
So I think you can use it for those, but I think the defenders are really important. So Tarkovsky, as it said in the article that the Premier League put out, 44 additional points he would have picked up.
That's huge, isn't it?
That's massive. Yeah. And like I was looking
What's his price going to be? He's going to be like 5-5 now, isn't he, Tarkovsky?
Yeah, I mean, it'd be interesting to see what he comes in terms of his price point. But I was doing some notes and I was looking at players who kind of... For me, the interesting thing is I'm going to pick at least one, probably 2. Budget-enabling defenders, right? So you're going to be looking for somebody in the 4.5-ish category. Now, if we go on what happened last season, the newly promoted clubs, the defenders will come in that price point. So last year, we went for Leif Davis. He did all right. I think he got 52 points over the course of the season.
Some assists.
It's all right.
Yeah.
If you look at Jan Bednarak, who obviously, again, playing at centre-back, so a bit different, picked up 60. So just slightly more than Aitnori, but he did play more games. Than Leif Davis, but he did play more games. He'd have picked up 30 additional points. So, sorry, 40. He'd have ended up on 100. 100 points for your budget-enabling centre-back.
Yeah, but he's not going to be budget anymore, is he? They're going to price him an extra 0.5.
Well, we'll have to find out. But if they stay cheap, enablers from these clubs stay cheap, I think there's some interest there, definitely. I like this. I think this is a good addition.
I think it's good. I think it changes the way we think about CDMs, the sixes, if you like. It changes the way we think about centre-halves, potentially. Anything that expands the pool of players for us to pick from in FPLs has got to be a good thing. What I really want to know about this is, are we going to start ranking them as like DEFCON 1 to DEFCON 5? I mean, defensive contribution has to be DEFCON, doesn't it? Somebody on Twitter said this the other day, like, Tarkovsky's now a DEFCON 5. I mean, it has to stick.
Yeah.
So defensive contributions, a tick, I think.
Yeah, I'm happy, like I'm happy okay, with this. I like this one, yeah.
Double chips. So this is something that has been spoken about a lot in pre-seasons gone by, and FPL have introduced some new chips along the way. I mean, we had the assistant manager last year. I think I made my feelings clear on how I thought about the assistant manager. The assistant manager chip is not back for this season. I think that's a massive win. Very happy not to see that back. But I also think this is a little win as well. I think so you're going to be able to have the bench boost, the triple captain, the free hit and the wild card.
Yeah.
in the first half of the season.
Game week 19, yeah.
Up to game week 19. And then from 20 to 38, you get them again.
Yeah, yeah.
You get the chance to play them again.
I
like it. There's a bit of me that says, you know, it's a one that's going to appeal to the more casual player, I think, again. But I think FPL, that's, you know, that's what they're looking to do. It's what they're trying to do.
Hmm.
What do you think about it? I think it makes playing the chips very early on. Like I'm already seeing a lot of a movement towards maybe a bench boost in game week one.
I'll be doing that.
And I can see why a lot of players would want to do that, absolutely. So what do you think about this double chips? Are you in favour of it or nah?
I like it. I think when you think about it over the course of last season, by adding three additional chips to the game and taking out the assistant manager, you're still playing chips in exactly the same number of weeks that you did when the assistant manager was around.
Yeah, okay.
So there's not more chips, as in like, there are, but actually in comparison to last season, it's the same number of game weeks that a chip will be active for you in. What I like about it is that the other chips, the bench boost, the triple captain and the free hit, when you think about how those chips have been played in previous seasons, they've pretty much all come in the same weeks. People play them around blanks and doubles later on in the season, and you don't really go any different with it. Last season, I tried to be a bit different with my triple captain, playing it in game week 9. Sort of didn't work. There were a lot of people that went for an early triple captain around Haaland when he was banging in like game weeks 2 and 3 last season. And there was a, you know, I think there was just over 150,000-ish that went for a bench boost in game week 1, but it was small numbers in terms of the whole game. What I love about this is that I think now we've got these two sets of chips. I think the second half chips are going to be still used in pretty much the same way. But the first half chips, I think, will create a very different strategy. So I think you're going to have either, you're either going to be a bench boost game week 1 manager and you're going to build a squad, or you're going to be I'm not bench boosting straight away, and you're going to build a team for game week 1.
There are going to be lots of different strategies, aren't there? Because I think you're right. Second half of the season, and we saw this last year, a lot of FPL managers waiting for the double game weeks. This is a tried and tested thing for us in FPL, right? That those of us that take the game seriously,
that's what we do.
We're saving the chips for the doubles and maybe the FA Cup replay moves a game or whatever. Right? That's how we play it. And for the second batch of chips in the season coming up,
It'll be the same.
But you're right. For that game week 1 to, did you say 19?
Yeah.
You know, not only are we going to have a wild card that we've got to play, which we're kind of used to, but now we've got the triple, the bench and the free hit.
Yeah.
When are we going to be playing it? Because we're not probably going to get doubles and, you know, double game weeks.
Unlikely. Something changes. Yeah, I mean, my original thought when they did this was, oh, that's nice. I'll use my free hit around the beginning of AFCON because that starts in game week 16. So I was thinking in the back of my head, well, if I use my free hit around game week 16, 17, I might be able to get myself through a bit of AFCON before. And if these players then go out early, I might not need to use so many transfers.
Yeah.
Then we got another announcement by the Premier League about these additional transfers for AFCON. Now, I love the chip thing. I'm here for it. I love the defensive contributions thing. I'm here for it. AFCON.
What are we saying about this extra transfers for AFCON? What are we saying?
Okay, shall I be honest?
I think you have to be, don't you?
I don't like it.
And if you won't, I will be.
I don't like it, Lee.
I don't like it at all.
I don't like it. Do you know what I don't like about it? Is that one of the things that I love about this game, and one of the things that makes us do this, is because we think about it. We live, breathe,
we're planning ahead,
sleep.
Yeah, yeah.
We plan. We think about. I've got.
If Dave from accounts at my work is not aware of the AFCON, and
that's
and he's got three players. Sorry, Dave.
Sorry, Dave.
You need to have thought about that back in game week
Come
18
on,
over
man.
Christmas.
Get a plan. Play is that. Yeah.
But no, now Dave has got to get out, isn't he?
So, I think I'm not best impressed because in my head I'm thinking, right, I've got even like Kelly and Jules on the pod, right, I'm thinking I've got an advantage over you two. You're not going to plan for it. You're not going to be thinking about your five African players that are disappearing off for, you know, from the 21st of December or whenever it is. So I was upset. Now the only thing that's maybe sort of come back a little bit from it is I think there's still a strategy game to it, because in reality it's up to five transfers, right?
Yeah.
So if you're Dave from accounts, sorry Dave, if you are actually a Dave from accounts,
I don't know
I'm sorry
from Dave.
But if you're we just take him as an example. If you're Dave from accounts, you might not really know what you're doing. You might not really understand the transfers. You might be going into game week 16 with four transfers in the bank. And if you're doing that, you're only getting one additional transfer added by the Premier League.
Is that how it's going to work?
Yeah. So what you need to do, what
so
our
you
strategy...
you get topped up?
You get top. That's exactly right.
Right.
You're topped up. You're not given five. So if you've got five in the bank, you don't get 10. You're topped up to five.
Oh,
so going
okay.
into game week 15, you have to use every transfer so that you get the most benefit going into game week 16.
If you
16.
Go into it with four, they're only going to give you one extra.
Right. So you can gain okay. four transfer advantage effectively here because you're getting one anyway. Going into game week 16, they give you that one every week. So it's really four additional transfers. So in my head, I'm thinking, all right, that means my strategy has to be that going into game week 15, I have some fun. I can make rogue transfers. If I've got four in the bank, I make rogue transfers. I have some fun. And then going into 16, I get five. And that maybe gives me an advantage over the people that didn't realise that.
Still not a massive fan of it.
I don't, Lee, I don't like it, but I've got to be, I've got to, you know, this is me, I've got to find some positives.
Of course.
So that's
course.
The positive bit that I found, that there is still some strategy that you can deploy here to give okay. you an advantage over AFCON. But I really wish they hadn't done it. It reminds me of that wild card they gave us coming out of COVID. Do you remember? And I hate, I was so upset yeah. about that because I'd saved my transfers and I was really pleased with myself and I had a plan. And then they all gave right. everyone a wild card and it upset me, but it's sort of the same thing.
All right, not a massive fan of that then. The other four changes that I managed to pick out, let's do these in a bit of a random way. So qualifying for global leagues, can we talk about this? This is for like, I mean, this ain't, I'm never in any danger of being in this, am I?
Yeah, you are.
This is...
Of course you are.
No, this is for the top players, isn't it?
No, it's the top 1%. You nearly always finish in the top 1%.
Well.
Both of us are in the top 10%.
Okay.
So we both qualify for that league.
Right.
It's basically, imagine it like the Champions League, basically. You finish in the top four, you make the Champions League. We're basically in the Europa League.
It's a Club World Cup all over again.
No, they're in the champ. If you're in the top 1%, they've made Champions League.
Right.
We're in the top 10%, we've made...
European Super League.
Or the conference. The Europa League. We're in the Europa League, effectively.
Right. Where's FPL Harry, then?
Oh, he's got probably got in the Super Cup by
he's
himself.
He's in the final of the Champions League.
He's just by
already.
Himself. He's just like, you've got your own league. It's called the FPL the FPL Harry... is beating the rest of the
but
world league.
Seriously though, like, so okay, so I'm what I have to be in the top 1% at what stage of the season to
you have
qualify
to finish
for this thing
in the top 1%.
So we won't know whether we're qualifying for these elite leagues until the end of
they start this season. So you're right. So we will be in a league that's called the top 10%
because of our finish last season.
Correct.
All right. Okay.
So we will have a little league that says the top 1%. It's a bit like a badge of honor, right? You want to have the top 1% league sitting there. I don't think it's going to make any difference to the way you play your game. You're always going to want to finish as high as possible. But it's just a Brucey bonus, I suppose, if you finish there.
Okay.
For those living outside the UK, the Brucey bonus thing will make no sense. That's a UK
That's
phrase.
That's a totally UK thing. A
Sorry
totally
about
UK
that,
thing.
Everyone.
All right, anyway, so elite leagues that, you know, I think we're in, but, you know, won't change the way we play the game. Things that will change the game, change the way we play the game. Changes to bonus points.
Yes.
So there's some... I would say subtle change, actually not so subtle. Talk us through those.
So then last season, you might remember that going into the season, they decided that they would remove, or not remove, but reduce the amount of points that goalkeepers got for saving penalties. It went from 13 down to 9. It's
yeah,
come
they
down
completely
again.
Nerfed it, didn't they?
It's come down again this season.
Yeah,
so it's gone from 9 to 8. So basically, if your goalkeeper saves a penalty, they are very unlikely to pick up 3 bonus points. They have... Also,
goalkeepers are pretty unlikely to get the extra 2 from DEFCON as well, aren't they? So like,
no, they don't get that.
So, because so a block, so a block is not a.
They like, don't get defensive contribution. They're not part of it.
Man, alive. So the goalkeepers are like properly nerfed.
They have the one thing that they have done is they've goalkeepers used to get 2 points for making a save in the bonus point system. So every save that you made, so if you had Flecken, you're likely to pick up quite a few points in the bonus point system. Rather than just getting 2, they've now changed it. So if you make a shot from outside the box and you save it, you get 2 points. If you make a save from inside the box, you get 3 points. So the harder ones to save, the ones close to you that you're unlikely to save, you get more points in the bonus point system for that. So they've kind of counteracted it, I guess, a little bit, because the things they're going to be doing the majority of the time, they're getting rewarded for a little bit more. The other thing that's happened with penalties is that last season, if you were a forward in the game and you scored a penalty, you got 24 points in the bonus point system for doing that.
That was kind of mad, wasn't it? Because there was some games.
João Pedro. Came off the bench.
Yeah.
Did nothing else bar put a penalty away for Brighton.
Yeah.
And picked up all 3 bonus points. And everyone was upset about it. Rightly, I think.
Wasn't there like a Chris Wood not in the game at all, scores 1 penalty, 1 shot on target, 3 bonus points?
Yeah. There was quite a few of them. Mad. So what they've done is rather than the forwards getting... So it used to be the forwards got 24, the midfielders got 18, and the defenders got 12. Now, if you score a penalty, regardless of where on the pitch you play, you get 12 points in the bonus point system.
Ooh, okay. So that's okay.
If you score a penalty, you are highly unlikely to pick up bonus points, particularly in the maximum bonus points, unless you also do something else in that game. So if you get a goal and a penalty, or a penalty and an assist, or a penalty and some defensive contributions, then you are likely to get something in the bonus points, but you're unlikely to get it just by scoring a penalty. Because the reality is, in those games that are like 1-0, the defenders have probably had a great game. They've probably saved, made some blocks, clearances, picked up some defensive points. They've got their clean sheets. They're probably the ones that deserve it.
And VAR's dropped a dodgy one, basically.
And then there's been a penalty given, and suddenly those defenders who were getting the... No, even in your team.
Yeah.
Like, your defenders were getting their bonus points. Oh, you've come on, scored a pen, now you're getting it. And it seems really unfair, right? So that is something that I think is going to benefit the game. There's some other changes in the bonus point system as well, but I think that's the main one.
Yes, okay.
I don't think it's going to affect the way we play the game. You're still going to pick the penalty takers because you pick them because they're going to score a penalty, not because they're going to get 3 bonus points on the back of it.
Yeah.
The other one that's quite good is that they have increased the... If you make a goal line clearance, it's increased massively now. So, okay. Like Mickey van der Ven in the Europa League final... Do you remember we won that?
Yeah.
Do you remember that, everyone?
So I think I might have heard.
So when Mickey van der Ven made that clearance...
I was thinking more Murillo. There was one... Didn't Murillo...
I don't remember that. I remember Mickey van der Ven. So remember when Mickey van der Ven made that goal line clearance? If that had been
in a totally different competition.
If that had been a Premier League game, he would have almost certainly got all 3 bonus points because he kept a clean sheet and made that goal line clearance.
Okay.
So and it's deserved because he would have.
All right. Any more changes to bonus? Any more significant?
Not,
changes
there's not
to
any
bonus
other points. Significant ones that I think. Okay. We need to. So there are others, but
pen takers nerfed a little. Goalkeepers saving pens
nerfed, but a little bit. But they're getting getting better for better shots inside. Yeah.
All right. Then what about the positional changes? Then a few positional changes of note.
Rest in peace, Jarrod Bowen. I feel like they've just killed him off.
Well, it's a bit of a shame that one because so Bowen reclassified from midfielder to forward. But some other players going the other way. So Marmoush going the other way, as far as I'm aware.
Yeah.
What other and Cunha as well going from a forward to a midfielder. Even I expect him to play in quite advanced areas at Manchester United. So what do you make of these changes and was there any sort of standout ones? Miles Lewis-Skelly going to a midfielder as well was kind of interesting. It's a bit of a shame not to see him as a defender.
No, going to a defender.
Oh, of course he's gone the other way, hasn't he? Okay,
that's good. So Jarrod Bowen is midfielder to forward. I'm a bit upset about that one. I think it's just killed off Jarrod Bowen for me because I really like having him, but with a 3 forward line structure in your team, assuming they keep that,
you'd struggle to find a space for him, wouldn't you?
Massively,
yeah. What others stand out?
From the forwards to the midfields, there's 4 of them. So Cunha, who you've mentioned, and Marmoush. There's also Cody Gakpo, which I think feels fair for him to be a midfielder in the game. He played more in that midfield role, didn't he?
I would say so. Yeah, and he's a bit of a no pick though, isn't he, really, with the amount of rotation and other players that could come into those slots with Verts and stuff coming in. So I wouldn't be touching Gakpo.
And then Illiman Ndai is the other one that's becoming a midfielder, which again I think is reasonable where
could
he plays. Then the midfielders back going from midfield into defence, Lewis Potter, Mateus Nunes, Lewis Skelly, Nico O'Reilly and Rodrigo Gomez. I think all of them, that they're fair. All of them are fair.
All sounds good, yeah.
And then the only other one is from defender to midfielder, so going the other way, is Ryan Sessegnon. So what's interesting about this is that we're losing some midfielders to gain defenders.
Yes.
But we've also taken out 4 forwards and only replaced them with Jarrod Bowen. And I always felt that last year we were a bit short of forwards as it was. Like, there wasn't a lot of... Didn't feel like there was loads of forwards to choose from in the game. So to take 4 away... I don't know. I think they all seem reasonable, though.
Yeah.
None of them seem outrageous.
No, I'm not looking at any of those. Apart from Bowen, maybe. I'm not going, they've got that wrong. So I'm okay with it.
And I can sort of see the Bowen one, because for most of last season when they didn't have any other players, he literally did play up top.
Yeah, true enough. Final one on the slide, then, is the more assists. So talk us through this one. So when there was ambiguity about assists last season, it did create a lot of narrative, a lot of conversation in the community. Rightly or wrongly, some of it was a little bit,
people get easily upset, Lee.
Well, I think that's right, though, isn't it? Because sometimes it was quite clear assists not being given, and then some were a little bit ambiguous. So clear it up for us. have the Premier League make this, have they made this better or worse?
This is really good. This one, I think, is really good. Because last season, there were 41 occasions where assists were not given, mostly through the intended target rule, but also through the deliberate handball rule.
Yes.
Now, both of these things are irritants to FPL managers because often, and in the case of, I remember it particularly vividly with Omar Marmoush putting a ball across. It wasn't intended to go to Bernardo Silva. I think it was aimed at Haaland, but I couldn't be certain of that.
I remember it, yeah.
It didn't go there. It went to Bernardo Silva. Bernardo Silva scores it, but Marmoush did not get the assist because he was not the person that Marmoush was. And I remember being like, oh, so I hate that rule because he's still assisted. It's still a fantasy assist. He has assisted, but it wasn't given. Under the new rules, he would be given that assist. Now, the one thing I would say, Scout has done some incredible work already on this. So we've got some new stuff that's being written and some new articles and some new areas being built into the members area. So if you aren't a member already, go and have a look at joining up. It's 47% off at the minute. It's the cheapest it's ever going to be. Yeah. So now's the time. And there's a link in our description.
Yep.
So go over there and sign up. But if you have a look at it, we've done some analysis of the 41 assists that weren't assists, but now would have been. How many players do you think that that affects?
Oh, don't know. Absolutely no idea.
So there's only two that it affects more than once.
Oh, okay.
So Cole Palmer is one of them. He would have had two additional assists.
Right. So they're quite spread out, these 46 anomalies.
Yeah. Mateus Fernandes is the other one. So not very heavily owned anyway. So
Mateus Fernandes?
Yeah.
Okay.
And So it would have been four assists. So 37 of them would have been one player, right?
Mm.
So in reality, across your team, how many of those would you have picked up? Now, per player, not very many, but I had a look at it about across my squad for last season with the list of players that I owned, and I would have picked up about six of them across the season as a whole.
It makes a difference.
But it does make a difference.
Yeah,
that gets me in the top 1% league.
You're in the elite leagues. You're up there with Harry.
I'm up there with Harry. So, you know, I think that's the thing, isn't it? Like, in reality, you look at it and go, oh, 41 assists. When you break it down, you go, oh, I wouldn't have been that affected.
You
then break it down again a little bit further, you go, well, across the season, actually, I would have picked up six or seven or eight of those. That's quite a lot. So I think it's really good. It also means that if your player, if there's a deliberate handball in the box, your player is the one that's kicked the ball and it's been deliberately handballed, you wouldn't have got assists for that before, but now you will.
Now you do. Okay.
So all of these things I think is good. It just means more assists and therefore more points. That can only be good.
Okay. Well, very good. I think in general, I'm in favour of what they've been doing to the
I'm
game.
Happy.
I think there's some changes in there that...
Not AFCON.
I think the AFCON one, yeah, I'm not keen on
it. I can see why they've done it, though.
I'm not keen on it. I think the casual player will like that, though. And we have to be realistic about what the Premier League are trying to do, right? The Premier League are trying to make this game appeal to more players and to keep the players engaged on a more regular basis. We sit here as experts, and there's all your favourite content creators out there on YouTube and everywhere else. And all of you, but the very nature you're here at FPL Family watching this video means you take FPL seriously.
Yeah,
so we're all sitting there going, we want to keep our advantage over Dave 100%. In accounts and all the casual players.
Poor Dave.
The reality is, the game belongs to the masses. The game belongs to
game
the
everyone.
Average football fan. It's a game for everyone. And we've got to embrace that, I think, a little bit. And the Premier League's changes, what they've done here, generally speaking, I think, there to keep people engaged and keep people playing the game. And that's, I think, in general, for FPL as a game, as a brand, as a thing, as a community, I think you've got to accept that's a good thing.
You've also got to look at it. The AFCON is usually in January. It's over Christmas, the busy festive period. So not only could you have five of your players disappearing off to AFCON, you could then get massive rotation around Christmas, which we do see, and have loads of players out. And if you're a casual or you're new to the game, you go, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. I can't be bothered with this. I've got no one playing.
Yeah.
So you can see why it makes sense, particularly because it's over Christmas. I just love the challenge of getting through that kind of stuff without the support. But I've just got to try and use it to my advantage.
You can have a bit of support. All right, guys. Let us know in the comments what you think about the AFCON thing. What do you think about the DEFCON? That's definitely going to be a thing, Sam.
I'll tell you what.
Tarkovsky at DEFCON 5.
Do you know what?
Can you help me? Come on. That's got to be a thing.
I quite like it. It feels like there's going to be a load of memes of Tarkovsky in some sort of Top Gun style, flying around in a plane every time he gets defensive contribution points.
It's just an idea. You have the power to make these things happen.
What?
Get it on the official pod. Tarkovsky, DEFCON 5. It's got to happen. Defensive contribution, what do you think, guys? AFCON, what do you think about? What do you think about the assists thing? What do you think about some of the positional changes? Cunha as a midfielder? Jared Bowen as a forward?
I'm sad about Bowen.
Let me know in the comments. Let us know what you think about all those things. Congratulations on being first in the world with your green arrow.
Well, yes! Done.
Congrats.
I bet I'm not there by the end of game we won.
I'm pretty sure that will be the case. Good luck for all of you picking your teams over the coming days, weeks. You know, there'll be plenty of time to tinker between now and the start
and your
of the
boy's
season.
Starting us off.
We're kicking us off. Liverpool versus Bournemouth. Kirk Cares
versus his old team at Fest. Are you looking forward to watching Liverpool with all the fantasy football fans at Fest?
Yeah, sort of.
Guys, sort if there's of. Ever been a reason to buy fantasy football Fest tickets, it's to watch Liverpool with Lee, because he does find it a little bit stressful.
Well, if Bournemouth go a goal up, it will be stressful. There's no doubt about it. No doubt about it. But guys, thank you for tuning in. If you're new to the channel, if this is your first ever time tuning into FPL Family, we're probably going to have a couple more videos between now and... In fact, I'm sure we're going to have a couple more videos.
Well, once the game is live, you know we're coming back with the drafts.
Beginning of the season, we're going to be doing first drafts, we're doing all that sort of stuff as well. Check us out on Twitter, Instagram, all that sort of stuff. We've revamped our Patreon as well, so patreon.com/FPL family. Get yourself over there, even if you just sign up as a free member over on Patreon. I haven't got to send us any money at all on Patreon, and you will still get access to some good stuff, including our weekly Ohana podcast, which goes out every single Thursday in the lead up to the game week. So we preview all the game week, tell you all the picks that we're going to make, all the changes we're going to make to our teams. We do that exclusively on our Patreon podcast, the Ohana podcast. Goes out on a Thursday. That is now free and available to everybody.
That's
all you
nice
can do
of
is
us.
Just go and set an account up and just follow us. Hit that follow button.
How
and
nice
become
of you.
Part of the Patreon community. I haven't got to send us any money, none of that stuff. There are tiers if you want to go and support us at a different level. But if you just want the podcast, that is the place to go. Like, subscribe, all that good stuff, and we'll see you once the game is live for our first draft.
Come on, all guys, pop the game live.
We are so back. We will see you very, very soon, guys. Cheers.
Bye, everyone.